The reading today comes from Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Emma, thank you so much for reading for us. Please keep that in front of you, everybody. We'll be looking together at Hebrews 10, 19 to 25 on page 1208. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us today by your Holy Spirit through your word in the Bible. Please meet with each one of us at our point of need. Teach us of yourself and teach us truth which will help us to know you and love you and serve you in the year ahead. Amen. Amen. If you could visit anywhere in the world, where would you choose to go? Been doing some research on the most popular tourist attractions visited last year in 2022. The world's most popular family destination remains the same as it has done for many years now. It's Walt Disney World in Florida. But maybe you fancy something a little bit more cultural, a little bit more historic. What about Asia's most popular tourist destination, which is the Forbidden City in Beijing? Or Europe's most visited art gallery and museum, not the Maidenhead Heritage Centre, the Louvre in Paris. Perhaps instead you would choose something in the natural world, a favourite mountaintop in the Lake District, or maybe it would just be visiting the home of a loved one who you hardly ever get to see. If you could go anywhere, where would you choose to visit? Well, I've chosen for our sermon this New Year's Day, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. I've chosen it partly because it's a good introduction to our mini-series in Hebrews 11, Faith in the Old Testament, which will begin next week, but also because this is a wonderful passage for the start of a new year. Because these verses remind us that if we are believers in Jesus, we have the right to enter somewhere which is far, far better than any of those places we just mentioned. It's a wonderful encouragement for us at the start of the new year. And as well as that encouragement, the verses give us three exhortations. They urge us to do three things, which would actually make three wonderful New Year's resolutions. The book of Hebrews was written around 40 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And it was written to people from a Jewish background, a Hebrew background, who had come to believe in Jesus the Messiah. And as increasingly is the case for Christians today, these first readers were facing a hard time. They were facing opposition and persecution for their faith. And the writer wants to show them that what they have in Jesus is far better than anything they had before. And he urges them to keep going with Christ. Now, our reading is a short paragraph, but it sums up much of the argument of the central section of the book of Hebrews, as the writer helps us to appreciate what we have in Jesus and then keep going with him. So let's look, first of all, at the encouragement in the first half of this paragraph. Look at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, there's some technical language there, but these words tell us that the cross of Jesus gives us confidence to enter the very presence of God. Let me say that again. The cross of Jesus gives us confidence to enter the very presence of God. Now, the Jewish believers in Jesus who first read this letter would have been absolutely astonished by verse 19. The most holy place was the room at the heart of the temple in Jerusalem. It was sealed off by a huge curtain as thick as your hand. And inside the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. And on pain of death, no one was allowed to enter the most holy place except for the high priest on one day of the year after the most elaborate cleansing rituals. In fact, tradition has it that they used to tie a rope around the high priest when he went in case he fainted while he was in there, so they could drag him out because no one else could enter. Now, that curtain in front of the most holy place was like a giant no-entry sign. It said to the people, God is holy, pure, and absolutely perfect, and that we are sinful. We're stained by wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And sinful human beings could not enter the presence of the holy God and live. So can you see how amazing it is to read in verse 19? Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that is opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, we now have confidence to enter the very presence of God. Now, the blood of Jesus in the Bible always refers to his sacrificial death for our sins. Jesus achieved in his death what no other sacrifice could do. He cleanses us of our sin if we trust in him, washes us clean. And so we have a new and living way. It's new because it was not available before Christ, and it's living because Jesus is alive and he gives us life. And that way through the curtain, verse 20, is Jesus' body. Jesus bore our sins, the punishment they deserve, in his body on the cross, so that now we can come into the presence of God. It's why, if you remember in the Gospels, that as Jesus died on the cross, that curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The new and living way is open. Now, I can imagine there's great joy in visiting Disney World. It must be awe-inspiring to go into that forbidden city, beautiful to look at the Mona Lisa. But there is nothing so awe-inspiring, so beautiful, so fascinating, so joyful as what Jesus has made possible for us, coming into the very presence of God. Because of Jesus, we can draw near in our hearts to our awesome Holy Creator. We can bring our needs to him. We can give our thanks to him. We can find strength for our hour of need. We can simply enjoy time with him, knowing his love in his presence. Let me ask, do you know that you can come into the very presence of God? Sometimes we think we can't. Maybe because of the weight of guilt at past sin. Maybe it's the way other people have treated us that makes us think we can't come to God. But the truth is, because of Jesus, whoever we are, whatever we've done, however others have treated us, if we are trusting in him, he's cleansed us of our sins, and we can come with confidence into the very presence of God. And let me ask, if you know that, are you still amazed at it? It's possible to get so used to the idea that we can draw near to God, we take it for granted, but we should retain that childlike wonder. People in Old Testament times would not have dreamt of going into the most holy place. And yet, because of the death of Jesus, we can enter God's presence. What an encouragement to hold on to at the start of the new year. The cross of Jesus gives us confidence to enter the very presence of God. That's the encouragement in the first half of our passage. The second half of the passage gives us three exhortations that flow from that. It urges us to do three things that flow from the confidence the believer has. And at the risk of making a dreadful pun, I'm calling these the three lettuces of the passage, because they all start with the phrase lettuce. And just as at this time of year, after the excessive consumption of Christmas, be healthy for us to eat some lettuce, these three make healthy, God-centered, balanced spiritual resolutions for the new year. And if you don't like the pun, count yourself lucky that you're not with the children, because Kate's actually got three lettuces out there, which I was thinking of doing before I came to my senses. So verse 19, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Then verse 22, let us draw near to God. It's the first exhortation. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. It's the second exhortation. And verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That's the third exhortation. And there are two more lettuces in verse 25, but in the original language, verse 24 and 25 all form one big lettuce, an iceberg lettuce. And so that's why I'm taking them together as the third exhortation. Let's look at these wonderful things in turn. So first, in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. The writer is saying, since we can enter the very presence of God, we should do it. Draw near to God. Now, we draw near to God when in the attitude of our hearts we come to him. When we consciously draw near to him in our hearts to give him thanks, to lay our needs before him, or simply to come to him and enjoy his love and know fellowship with him. And we're told here in verse 22 to draw near with a sincere heart, that is a true heart. In other words, don't just go through the motions when we read the Bible. Don't just say the words when we pray. But rather with our hearts truly engaged, draw near to God. And we draw near in full assurance of faith, not trusting in ourselves, but in the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. The verse speaks of having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us of a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Those were rituals that happened in Old Testament days when people prepared themselves to enter the temple. But it's as we draw near to God in our hearts that we experience again the cleansing of his forgiveness, and we're equipped to serve him in the world. Imagine being given for Christmas a skip the queue ticket to see the Mona Lisa in the Louvre, but never using it. What a waste that would be. Imagine being given an all-expenses-paid trip to visit that loved one far away who you never get to see, but not using that trip. That would be an insult. Believers, sometimes we can go for days, even longer, without drawing near to God in our hearts. How terrible that is. We should often draw near to God using the access that Jesus has made possible. So as we start 2023, let's resolve to draw near to God more and more. If you're anything like me, an important part of this is building a routine of a daily time to draw near to God, perhaps in the morning or in the evening, a time to read his words, a time to pray. If you've never done that, or if you've slipped out of that habit, those Bible reading notes, Explore, others like them, can be such a help. And whether we're wanting to get into that routine or we're in it already, remember, it's not the length of time that matters, but the sincerity of our hearts. Not just going through the motions, reading a few verses, but with our hearts truly engaged, drawing near to God, trusting in what Jesus has done to make it possible. And we mustn't limit drawing near to God to that one part of the day. No, rather all through the day, whenever we have something to give thanks for, whenever we need his help, just to enjoy his presence, let us draw near to God. Well, the second exhortation comes in verse 23. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to our hope. Hold on to the certain future that God has promised his people. You see, for now, as we've seen, we can enter God's presence spiritually. But in the future, when Christ returns or when we die, we will enter God's presence physically to enjoy fullness of joy with him forever. That's the hope, the future that God's people have ahead of us. And the writer urges us to hold unswervingly to that hope, to hold on to it tight without taking our eyes off it. Now, near our old house where we used to live, there was a long, narrow passage which I used to cycle down twice a day. Do you know the secret of cycling safely down a long, narrow passage? It took me a few weeks to learn it when we moved to that house. What you have to do is keep your eyes fixed on the end of the passage, on the destination. If you look at the few yards just in front of you, you swerve this way and that and end up in the hedge. I told you it took me a few weeks to work out the secret. But if you focus on the destination on the end of that passage, somehow you find yourself cycling in a straight line right up it. Well, it's the same in the Christian life. We must focus on the destination, on the end, on spending eternity with Christ. That's what gives us the perseverance, the passion, the joy as we live for Jesus now. So let's resolve as we head into 2023 to hold on to our hope. This last week we've been staying in a friend's house and they've made a poster that they have up in the house that says, "Heaven is our home." Such a helpful poster. But whether it's with a poster or however else, keep reminding yourself of the hope that God has promised you. It would be good to say to ourselves every day, "Heaven is my home. Each day is a day closer. I will be with the Lord, free from suffering, free from sin, and it will be wonderful." The power to live the Christian life now comes from holding on to that hope in the future. And if we wonder whether the hope is real, well, we have to remember verse 23, that God who promised is faithful. There is nothing more certain in the universe than that God's people will spend eternity with him, because God has promised it and he always keeps his promises. Let us hold on to our hope. And then the third exhortation is that we encourage one another. Verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It's a striking and spiking image to spur each other on, driving each other forwards to love God and neighbor and to serve God in good deeds. The writer continues, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, in 2022, there was a scientific breakthrough in something called nuclear fusion. And for the first time, a nuclear fusion reaction gave off more energy than was put in. And those who understand these things are now going to be appalled by my layman's explanation of nuclear fusion. And you can put me right afterwards. As I understand it, in nuclear fusion, atoms are brought together in such a way that they give off an immense amount of energy and heat. Am I right? Can anyone nod? A few people are nodding. Maybe approximately correct. The point is, when the atoms stay apart, nothing happens. When they're brought together in that special way, who knows what it is, they give off an immense amount of energy and heat. And actually, many scientists are hoping that our energy needs for the future will be provided through this needs. Well, it's the same for us Christians. If we stay apart, our faith grows cold. But when we come together and encourage each other, well, then we grow warm in our fervor for the Lord and in our faith. So this year, let's resolve to encourage one another. It means meeting together regularly, And in today's busy world, that never happens just by accident. My longing for every believer at St. Mary's is that Sunday by Sunday, we'll regularly be in one of our congregations. And if we can, we'll be meeting together in a small group so that we can encourage each other more personally. Now, in this busy world, that only happens when God's people make a priority of meeting together, in our planning, in our diaries, booking it in. And then when we meet, let's spur each other on towards love and good deeds. We do that by speaking the truth about God and his goodness to each other. I think of our sister Pat Batty, who went to be with the Lord at the end of last year. And every time I saw Pat, she would speak to me of her eternal hope. And it was such an encouragement. She was speaking God's truth. We encourage each other also by spurring each other on in the ways we're serving the Lord, giving thanks and feedback. We do it also by praying together for our lives and our witness. And actually, we encourage each other too by sharing our struggles and how God is sustaining us in difficulty. Each day, the day of Jesus' return is one day closer. And when he comes, we want him to find us living wholeheartedly for him. And for that, we need to encourage each other. Well, I don't know if lettuces are really good for you or not. But these three exhortations are wonderful, healthy, God-centered resolutions for the new year. The cross of Jesus gives us confidence to enter the very presence of God. So let's resolve this year to draw near to God often, coming in our hearts into his presence. And let's resolve to hold on to our hope, not living like the world around us for the present, but with our eyes firmly fixed on the eternal future he's promised us. And let's resolve to encourage one another, spurring each other on to love and good deeds. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing confidence that you give us to enter your very presence. We thank you for the blood of Jesus who cleanses us of all our sins and enables us to draw near to you. Lord, help us in the year ahead to do these things more and more. Help us with sincerity of heart and full assurance of faith to draw near to you often and regularly. Enable us to hold unswervingly to the hope that you have given us. And show us, Lord, how in our different ways we can spur each other on towards love and good deeds as we wait for the day of our Lord's return. Amen.